We are back with the Barca Breakdown Podcast. My name is Adam.
And I'm Yusuf.
Thank you all for listening.
So take a moment out of your day, guys. Follow us on the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Leave us a comment. Leave us some reviews on the iTunes. And you can even leave us a review on the Facebook page that we have up.
Or send us some reviews on Twitter, DM us. Anyway, you can reach out to us. We'd love to hear your constructive criticism. It really does help us a lot trying to get better at this good old podcast. That's the funny thing about you tonight is whereas Valverde tries to keep the same idea and have an awful play style, you and I are here trying to get better, trying to make
improvements.
Exactly, improvements, Ernesto.
But let's get into the game. So our lineup came out. What did you think?
So the lineup was, I think we were excited.
Yes.
So I think for a while now we had been looking to see a Dembele, Griezmann, Messi front three in that order from left to right. We'll just leave that little caveat in there. And then in the midfield, you know, I'm still not really sure what's up with Arthur and why he's not being called up. He's had his issues in the past with fitness and I believe a calf injury. So, you know, there's been no reports that he's feeling something long term or that this is some sort of permanent change. But no Arthur on even on the bench. And in the starting three, we had Frankie de Jong, Busquets, and Arturo Vidal. And then the back four was pretty standard, right? Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, Semedo. Mm-hmm. When I saw the lineup, like we talked about, right? I'd been asking, I put out a tweet on like Sunday, I think, like when are we finally going to see a Griezmann, Messi, Dembele front three? And we got it. So I was pretty excited on that front. I thought, okay, we're going at home. We got those front three. You know, it seems like after this poor performance we had on the weekend in La Liga, it seemed that everyone was saying, you know, the games we had lost in La Liga were the games when Busquets wasn't starting. So, you know, I think the whole season long we've been having this debate, which is Busquets past it? Is he not fast enough against teams that, you know, press us or require us to be defensive on the counterattack versus, you know, in La Liga, it does seem like the games where Busquets isn't there, we lose. And so, you know, I think when I saw the front, the starting midfield, I was not super enthused, right? I love seeing the Frankie de Jong and Arthur duo in midfield because I feel like that creates a lot of forward passing. And then, you know, I saw Vidal in the midfield and against Slavia Praha, a team that, you know, took it to us when we played them 2 weeks ago in Prague. I had a feeling at the Camp Nou they were going to sit back and wait to, you know, attack us on the counter. And that is generally not the best game for Arturo Vidal to play in, right? Vidal, I find, is better in games where there's more of a, like, less sitting back, less of a high line on the defense. Because in that type of situation, you really need the midfield to be able to, you know, get the ball from the back four to the front three. And so with the high line, with the defensive rigidity I thought we'd see from Slavia Praha, I wasn't too happy with Vidal. And, you know, we'll talk later about how Rakitic came in as a substitute. I really think that Alenia might have been good in this game with some, you know, shifty passes that can help break through the lines. I you know, almost thought that Rakitic might be better in Vidal's place. But from that second half performance, I don't even think that was a good choice. So, you know, midfield, not too happy about. Back line, it was about what I expected. Sure. And then front three, I was happy about. What did you think?
Front three, I was excited. I wanted to see, we've talked about this several times, having Griezmann as our striker in the middle. Then we had Dembele, and I was like, finally, Dembele's back.
True.
We're going to have a lot of energy. We're going to have a lot of speed.
There were a lot of reports going on that Dembele might have gotten re-aggravated his injury. And
true,
that,
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, there might have been some bad issues where he wasn't going to start. Turned out to be a little bit of the good old American fake news, as they call it. And Dembele was healthy. I was happy with that.
So, yeah, so they came out.
What did you think about the midfield lineup?
The midfield, I'm about the same boat as you. Vidal, for me, I was just like, I don't think this is the case, and we talked about that, or the guy of choice. I don't know who I would sub in. You said Alenia. I'm not a huge fan of Alenia.
Ricky Pooch, where's my boy Ricky?
He's already talking about leaving.
I know.
But maybe Rakitic should start this game. He hasn't. He started one game.
Early in La Liga, too.
Early, and he's only been subbed in like once or twice, which is pretty bad.
What do you have any insights or seen anything about Arthur and why he's not playing?
No, nothing.
Because he didn't play this weekend either.
No, for sure. And I have not seen anything. No reports are out on to why he's not being called up, why Valverde is making this decision. We could say that about the whole lineup almost, in the sense that, okay, we had Vidal in, and we know that this is not the game he should be playing in. And then we also had the front three.
Yeah, break that down, because we saw the front three, and we were all very excited. And then what did we end up getting?
We saw Griezmann starting on the left. Okay, that's already problem. And then we saw Messi in the middle, kind of, while really Vidal was shifted towards that middle spot. And then we had Dembele on the right.
Let's get into that. What do you think was Valverde's mindset, if he has one, with Vidal playing up front? I have some ideas myself.
I think he was trying to, you know, sneak a goal in, kind of. With Vidal, he likes to push forward. He likes to get those one-touch passes or receiving a one and then trying to finish. So I think he was trying to do that, but in this kind of game, I don't think it was set up to, like, the midfield wasn't strong enough with Vidal forward, and then Dembele trying to work on the right, and Griezmann was almost non-existent, but I think he was just trying to sneak in a goal. Like, he had no real plan.
So it seemed to me, this is my theory, is that, and you know, we've talked a lot this year about it, as well as a fatal flaw we had last year, which is, when you have Messi on the right wing as like the full-time right winger, he's just naturally drifts centrally because our midfielders tend to lack the ability to make the passes he can make to kind of break through the front lines. And so for me, what it seemed like he was trying to do is that he thought, okay, they're going to let us have a lot of possession, and so they're going to try to attack on the counter. And so in lieu of Messi, who's really not putting in like a full defensive, you know, effort anymore, which, you know, we say is a bad thing at the same time, right? Like, you know, I think it does cost us some of our ability to full press a team, like, super hard. On the same time, right, I mean, you can't expect this guy, as Valverde does, to literally do every single thing offensively and then also want him defensively. Anyways, I digress. It seemed like, to me, Valverde's idea was that, okay, Messi's going to be up there and he's not going to really provide a lot of defensive work rate, so let's have Vidal kind of slot into a similar type position and area as Messi, and then hope that he'll be able to, you know, press when we lose the ball and kind of help solidify our defense. But in reality, we didn't have a midfield, really, right? I mean, there was a great comment, I think it was the top one on the Barca subreddit I read, which was basically like a little bit of a spoof of kind of how our offense works, and it's basically, okay, get past the ball to Lenglet or Piqué, move everyone parallel to their defense so no one's, you know, causing any mayhem and disrupting any lines, and then wait for Semedo to make a run, pass it to Semedo, he'll lose the ball, and then we get counterattacked, right? What was really baffling about the game, and, you know, the first half performance was just a straight snooze fest. I mean, we said it last week, you guys could tell we started that podcast very depressed after the Levante game. You know, this game was not a lot better, if at all better, really. I mean, we're losing, or we drew Slavia Praha at home, right? I think this is the first time since 2015 that Messi hasn't scored in two home Champions League games in a row. And then I also think that...
I think our worst home performance, by the way.
True, and we'll get to that later. Yeah. But I think this is the first time in 7 years that Barca have failed to score in the Champions League group stage at Camp Nou. And so, you know, like kind of like you're alluding to, right? And we'll get to this later. Once these home wins stop getting the 5-1s, 3-1s for Valverde, I mean, we know his away record's not going to save him. And so, you know, if he starts losing at home, drawing against Slavia Praha at home, hopefully the head will roll soon. But I digress. So that is basically what I thought about Vidal. It was very awkward. There were times where he looked like he was straight up playing as a center forward. I think it was as an idea to have him be in a position to cover for Messi defensively, but
I don't think he did that.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Not well. And in the first half, it made us very prone. And then the second half, you saw Vidal move more backwards. And I think it allowed a little more defensive rigidity. At the same time, though, like we're saying, Vidal is not the player for this game. And so he made some turnovers in that second half that really could have cost if they put one past us. Okay, we'd been talking for so long. We want to see Dembele on the left, Messi on the right, Griezmann as a striker. Like we discussed, Messi on the right has some issues itself, but it's like he took the players we wanted to see and then thought, how do we screw the Barca breakdown host? And then just he put the names in a hat, he put the positions in a hat, and then he randomly drew left wing, Griezmann, center, Messi, right, Dembele.
You say that like he randomly chose? No, this was a deliberate awful
decision.
True,
you're right. I'm making it too easy for him.
Definitely not. So, I mean, he did this and then tries to, for some reason, it seemed like to him, like he was causing chaos, right? And then in the second half we saw, I'm not trying to go too far forward, but we saw the subs, and even those subs shifted up the midfield and the front. And I don't know, man, like his plan is
nothing.
It's nothing, but it almost seemed like to be a purposeful chaos, but in no productive way. Right?
I keep coming back to the same thought, which is like, are these players being trained how to perform offensively? Because it really doesn't seem like it. I mean, like I said, Messi wasn't able to score today, but he was creating everything we had, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's literally like we meme it so hard that it's Valverde's whole era is known for poor lineup, pray Messi wins the game, right? And like this game was no different. I thought Dembele coming back from injury looked fairly good. I know he got a lot of criticism early because he was losing some balls. Let's remember that he really hasn't had a full string of playing,
sure.
Right? I think
Injuries.
That we saw the glimpses of what I really want Dembele to be, that player who's running out wide, creating chances. And if we give him enough playtime like he had in that first half last year, we'll be able to see the confidence raise in him to bring his game to a new level.
See, I had thought that Dembele was doing a good job on the right side with Semedo, and I thought they had some good connections. The only thing I would change for the most part was Dembele seemed to be pushing the ball forward for Semedo when a lot of the time I like the reverse. I like when Dembele's running forward and Semedo gives him the ball because I think he's able to produce more forward. Semedo always seems to lack something, and I think Semedo made a mistake earlier in the game when Dembele gave him a ball, beautiful ball, Semedo got it, and he tried to take a shot when Vidal was wide open.
Sure. Although I will say this, on my end, I think Semedo's getting better, man.
No, I agree.
If I have to be honest, right? Like, Semedo, his defensive work rate is always very nice. You know, there were some times earlier this season where he got burned a little bit, but it seems like he's getting more playtime and getting more comfortable.
I like him on the right side, and I do not want Roberto there really right now. Like, I don't think he's providing enough to the team. And that sub in the second half to change that up really bothered me.
True, but at the same time, the reports are that Alba got hurt.
No, I know. He had a hamstring reoccurrence, I believe.
Although, that begs the question, right? Did FC Barcelona purchase a left back this offseason to sub in for Alba?
Yeah,
did we have him on the bench at all today? No, where's Firpo?
No idea.
Right? Instead, we keep doing this Swiss Army knife type attempt with Semedo and Roberto where we put them in these positions that they aren't masters at and hope it'll work and hope, as we always say, Messi will save the day. Just didn't happen today. Griezmann, what were your thoughts on his performance in the first half?
I thought he wasn't, even defensively, wasn't very present. I'm not going to put all the pieces onto him and say it was all his fault, though. I do think that Messi should have passed him that ball. I know the angle was still odd.
When was this?
In the first half, when Messi took a shot and hit the woodwork, he had like three defenders in front of him.
True. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Griezmann was on the left. He had, I read some comments about it, you know, people on both sides of, should he have passed it to Griezmann? Should he have taken the shot? I personally think that Griezmann wasn't getting a lot of action that game. I think if it was Suarez, he would have given it to Suarez. And I think seeing that that Griezmann wasn't involved in this game, he should have taken that chance to involve him because there was a point in that first half that Messi was really looking like he wanted to score. And
true.
I wanted that to happen, but sometimes you can't be the savior, right? And sometimes the players that you know that need to get involved and make something happen and aren't present, you should try to help them get involved. And we see that all the time with Messi and Suarez, right? When Suarez is struggling, a lot of the time Messi tries to get the ball to Suarez and try to make something happen. And I didn't really see that. I'm not mad that he took the shot. I just think that the way the game was going, he should have put some more effort into involving Griezmann. But
So on my end, I agree with what you're saying. And there have been so many instances now where Messi has not passed the ball to Griezmann that I think, you know, there must be something up a little bit. I'm not sure what. But two things here. The first thing is that in general, man, I just feel like Messi doesn't have faith in the team at all. And so he just feels like he has to play savior ball. It's like Valverde has created the self-fulfilling prophecy where he had the last 2 years, like, and magically won two La Ligas, which no one knows the answer to. He was able to, like, play questionable team lineups, questionable tactics, and have Messi save the day. When we all thought, okay, this is something Messi has to do because Valverde is so poor at preparing the team. But now it seems like it's swung where, like, now it's in Messi's head that, like, he has to do it all because no one else is really making any runs, right?
Very possible.
Goes to a bigger problem I had with this game. It was kind of like what I talked about earlier about Vidal and his the choice of playing him in this game, is that when you have a team pressing high, what you really need to do is make balls through balls or over the top that go through the defense, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I really didn't see a lot of runs from any of our offensive players to kind of make that happen. I saw a few times where, you know, there was a high line and someone could have made a run, especially Dembouz, and I didn't see it happen, which is concerning. And then the other thing is that it in a lot of these games, even though we have Frankie, who we all love and who put in a great effort today in terms of, like, defensive workhorse and also dribbling out of some troubles, it just a lot of times seems like we don't have a midfield. And it felt like that last year too. Sure. Where it's like, who in the midfield is taking the ball and then making incisive passes to our front three to put them in scoring positions, right? That person who's doing that is always Messi. We think about his assist to Vidal 2 games ago, sure, right, where he had that beautiful assist.
Every so often you get one or two midfielders getting a ball in forward.
Very rarely.
No,
man.
I know, I agree, but I'm just saying, that's how, like, dilute it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, when you boil down all the frustrations we have, it's like the team that we have, the players we have, if you evaluate them all on their own, are very good and are, like, superstars. And yet Valverde just doesn't seem like he has any sort of ability to inspire confidence anymore. And, you know, it seems like the players have somewhat, it's either they've given up on Valverde and they don't trust him to, you know, create a team that's going to win, or they themselves seem to, I don't know, just lack the energy, right? It seems like after every one of these big Champions League games, we look up the stats and it's like, Barca have run 10 kilometers today and the other team has run 12,
yeah,
right? And so, like, the formula for how to beat Barca is starting to come into shape for a lot of these teams. It's like, you need to press them really hard. You need to run all game. No matter, like, what situation you're in, if you just run, you'll find yourself open because they're not going to run.
Mm-hmm. No, they look lazy. They look like they're walking around. They don't want to, you know, really get involved. But to add to your point, I think there's a real disconnect between the midfield and the front three. That's where I think the biggest issues lie. And as we saw, like, when we have a player like Iniesta, he's able to connect the mid to the front. But I don't really see that as much happening. A lot of the time, this midfield has to do a lot of extra defensive work, and that's the issue, I think.
But they also give up a lot of balls, man.
True.
Right? We talk about Busquets, and we talked about earlier how there's this weird duality of, like, is he past it? Is he not good enough against teams that are counterattacking? Versus, oh, the three losses in La Liga are because Busquets wasn't on the field. But he looked bad today again.
Yeah.
And there were some times where players were, like, had the ball in front of them and were trying to figure out where to go, and it's just like it clicked in their head, oh, I can just run around this guy.
See, I don't know, man. Like, there's so much disarray. As much as we're trying to analyze every little bit of what's happening, it's so hard because it seems like they're not giving anything back. There's no improvement. It's always like a polar change, right? It goes from, like, a complete positive to a complete negative, but we still don't look good either way.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, one other thing in the first half, although I think he got this yellow in the second half, I'm not sure, but...
PK?
PK.
I think he got in the first.
what is going on with him this season, man? He's like I remember five podcasts ago, I was saying like, well, PK always grows into the season, he'll get better. But check this out. In 14 matches this season, PK has 9 yellow cards.
Dang.
Last season, he had 7 yellows in 52 matches.
Whew.
Right?
Yeah,
so there's something up there, and I don't really know what it is. I mean, part of it, I think, is just him and lacking concentration. The other part is like not having a stable and a stable midfield that can like retain possession in some of these tighter areas. So they're putting him at like greater risk of being, you know, trying to run one-on-one versus a offensive player. But PK is really not showing up either.
Well, he seemed to get strung along to the like right side kind of midfield and get taken out of that position, his center back position. And so I think in that yellow card, he had to like recover from being too far forward. And so that's what caused that yellow card. But you're right. There's a lot of lack of concentration going on. And I think it's not just him. I think it's we saw a few, I think it was 2 or 3 yellow cards in the first half because just allowing the offense of Slavia Praha to get through. And so we had to make a bad foul to prevent them from scoring because, well, might as well get a red instead of losing this game. And there's just
I mean, it's clear as day to all of us, right? Like there was some periods last season, even after Liverpool, where even after Roma, where like there was some split over Valverde out. And it just seems like we all know what the bottom line is here. We need to get a new coach. Right.
Speaking of which, Valverde fired their coach.
I know, but yes, Bayern fired their coach this year. We tweeted about it, put on Instagram. Valverde, please take Kovac's, idea and just resign for all of our sakes. You know, what I think overall we're seeing is that Barca have really come to mirror the mindset of Ernesto Valverde, which is, you know, to put it kindly, he's like a mid-table manager who would love to squeak out results, a draw, a win, you know, just anything but a loss. And he's come to Barca, put on this horrible mentality, and have no fire, man. It just seems he's lost the team.
In his interview,
About a Valverde interview.
No, they asked him, are you considering resigning? And just like, what an awful person. He just doesn't seem to take any responsibility for the negative things happening with the team and says basically like, it's just what's going on and I have no idea or no thought of resigning because it seems so selfish, right? It seems like the team's not doing very well. You're obviously not fitting in. For some reason, Bart won't fire him. Like,
well, here's the thing, dude. We're at first in La Liga, first in our group, but we're at a critical stage here. If Inter and Dortmund both beat Slavia Praha, mm-hmm. and then, you know, let's say we go, so we have 2 games left. We have Dortmund at home, and we have mm-hmm. Inter away. If we lose to Dortmund at home at the Camp Nou, which if you saw the game today, don't take that as a surprise, even though we have the, you know, Camp Nou fortress, as we always talk about, and our record in Europe at home. But if we lose against Dortmund, that means we're going to play a do-or-die game away in Italy. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
away is even worse.
And so what I'm saying is that, you know, we're at one of those tipping point moments, whether or not we all want to wake up and realize it. And, like, that is the time to replace a coach, right? I mean, you know, we hate to talk about the Blancos in Madrid, but they were struggling, and they replaced their manager with Zidane, mm-hmm. and they won the Champions League that year.
For sure.
Right? It's happened before. We've seen coaches being changed. It's not really a Barca thing to do, but neither is drawing 0-0 at home against Slavia Praha.
Just imagine if we were to that negative result that you were talking about and lose and not make it through the group stage. Imagine that happening and then keeping Valverde, because I don't even think that is enough to have him, you know, disappear from our existence or our viewership. I don't know what it's going to take for that to happen. And plus, even if we do try to change it after we lose, change our manager, then it's too late. We're already out of the Champions League. Another season wasted. Trophy wasted.
What do you think? I mean, at some point here, dude, if we really think Messi and Piqué and like Busquets, I mean, it's hard to say Busquets because he's fighting for his own spot to start, but you know, at some point, I need these guys to come out and just say what's wrong with the team. You know, I'm kind of. It's funny, we haven't even really talked about the second half, but surprise, surprise, nothing really happened. And it was a snooze fest. But it just seems like, It just seems like we need those players to come out and say what the truth is, that, hey, he's lost the plot. We've lost, you know, all confidence in Valverde, because if they don't do it, nothing's going to happen. You know, Barca make a lot of money, and the powers that be, Bart, as you say, the president and the board, like, they're making a lot of money. And so, you know, unless the fans or the players put some sort of huge impetus to change, it's not going to happen mid-season. So, you know, we need something dramatic. We need a new coach, and we need either the fans to have some sort of protest or the players to come out and speak their minds, because this is really just not working. And I just hate, absolutely hate, these post-game press conferences where you hear Busquets or Piqué or Valverde go, well, we tried our hardest, but it just didn't work out. You know, in another day, those chances would have gone in the goal. We have issues to fix. We know the fans are upset, but just have faith, we'll get better. It's like, it's not happening.
Well, not just that, but it doesn't seem to have any semblance of change or improvement, right? That's the biggest issue. It's one thing is to do poorly. Another thing is to show, or the lack of showing, any improvement. And that's all we're asking, is to see, like, what is happening? What are the issues? How do we fix them? All we're getting is a smokescreen. And I think that's the biggest issue.
So, I mean, yeah, speaking of the second half, right? So we had Roberto come in for Alba because Alba had some hamstring discomfort. Not going to be good, but, you know, I mean, what can you do, right? I feel like everything I describe about this team is some sort of paradox, which is probably my poor word choice. But at the same time, like, when Alba's doing bad, the team does bad. But Alba's been doing bad since Anfield. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, because, like, the player that we rely on a lot of times to do well is not doing well, and there's no real way to just reset that whole situation. So he's hurt again, which is going to be a little bit of a terror, but hopefully Firpo can come in and do well. There were reports this week that he was pretty upset that he had to watch the game against Levante on the bench. He put in Roberto for Alba, and then he shifted Semedo to be the left back, Roberto for the right back. He put in Fati, which I'm happy for. Fati had a beautiful outside of the boot pass to Messi that should have gone in, been a goal.
I remember that.
But he took out Dembele, and it's actually a substitution that, like, I really want to be mad at Valverde for. But at the same time, Dembele's coming back from an injury. He wasn't even healthy enough to play against Levante, so I somewhat understand it. But it just seemed weird that the most electric player besides Messi on the pitch was taken out in a draw at home, when a win here would have really sealed probably the lead of the group.
And I agree with you completely. The other thing I think is that when Fati came in for Dembele, Griezmann then switched to the right side for Fati to be on the left. And now Griezmann's on the right side. We haven't even seen him do anything in the middle, anything on the left side. And now he's on the right side. Like, I don't know. I would have rather seen Griezmann taken out and put Fati in, if you're going to do that, whatever, and put Dembele on the right side. I think Dembele on the right side was fine. He had a good little pass over the top to Roberto.
He also had some nice crosses.
Yeah, some nice crosses.
Corner kicks.
That's why I'm confused. Like, okay, he is coming back from injury, but we're trying to win this game.
You're right, but at the same time, imagine if Dembouz gets hurt there, we would be like,
it wouldn't even be a surprise.
I know you. You would be like, Valverde, why'd you play him?
Valverde's... So, there's nothing I can say nowadays that I'll... Valverde, you did great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love making these podcasts, but I just... Unless we get a new coach, I have a feeling you're going to hear... I have a feeling, like, you could play this exact podcast and bleep out Slavia Praha and put in X name who we play for the next 6 months. True. If we don't sub out Valverde.
Well,
right?
We won't even be in the Champions League if that's the case.
True. Copa will lose, you know, yeah. Like everything. I mean, I guess one issue that we can say is not necessarily Valverde's fault, although I think Frankie and Arthur could be these players. He just doesn't utilize them correctly. But we really do lack a creative attacking midfielder who's able to make runs and passes to open up the front three.
I think he almost tried to use Vidal as that, but did not work, and it just wasn't his game.
True.
But I agree, there's got to be something. I mean, Arthur, even he provides some of those forward passes.
But sometimes he just turns horizontally, right? Like, that's a frustration I have as well. Frankie, I mean, I feel so bad for the guy. He watches Ajax play today, sees them look all exciting, all fluid, and scoring four goals, and he must just be like, why did I come to this team? It's okay, Frankie. Just stand out strong until Valverde is gone.
Hear our message, Frankie.
You know, I guess to just finally talk about the game, you got to shout out Slavia Praha, the goalkeeper.
For sure, Kolar.
Played so well. Had some crazy, crazy saves. Quick question. Does this game and how we've been playing Levante second half when Suarez came out? And today, does this make you at all reevaluate Suarez?
Saying like he wasn't in, like there wasn't enough because he wasn't in? Is it? Because
on one end, like we have so many criticisms of Suarez, right?
Sure.
Like a horrible first touch, lost the pace, you know, will score a crazy goal in a 5-1 victory, but has trouble in some of the tighter games where we need him to be more, you know, fluid. And
I don't think it reevaluates what I think. The reason I say that is because he is so on and off that it's so, like, there's nothing I can say. Like, if he was in, we could see lazy, slow Suarez with no involvement, or we could see
world-class Suarez.
A volley Suarez, you know? We did see Messi try to volley today.
Went way far up.
Yeah, it was not on the mark. But, like, you... There's just no predictability anymore. There's no no percentage of him performing like really well versus poorly. Like, I can't say, oh, well, most of the time, 80% he's doing well and 20% he's not. So I would go with positive. But in this case, it's like 50-50, flip a coin. You get what you get.
Sure. All right. Well, I mean, that's the state of Barca.
Yeah. And we'll move on to the predictions for our game on Saturday.
It's at home?
Yes.
At the Camp Nou against Celta Vigo.
Yes. So our last...
They're bad this year, man.
I know. They're at 9 points, and we're at the top at 22, but and they lost their last four games. But if we look at our last two meetings, we played them away and lost, and we played them at home and won, and both times two goals were scored. So what do you think?
I would say my prediction, God, I mean, that's what's so hard about this is that it seems like Valverde's lost his Camp Nou, protection a little
sure.
bit. I'm going to predict against Celta, we're going to do well, actually.
Okay.
Damn it. I always say this, but I think we'll win 3-0.
Okay.
Messi 2 and Dembele 1.
If he even starts Dembele. I'll go with Barca victory 2-1. Messi, Dembele, one each. I don't really have a huge confidence. Even today, I was on the FC Barcelona app, and you can make predictions on the games. And I predicted 1-0 and lost because it was 0-0. But if you guys want, you guys should go on there and make a prediction because those things are a little fun to do.
Yeah, tweet at us your predictions. We'll
yeah.
see if you do better than us. I mean... Probably likely because Valverde, this whole nightmare roller coaster, it's hard to predict. So let's see. We'll talk to you guys on Saturday. You know, around La Liga, it's pretty tense right now. So there's three-way tied for the top. Barca at 22, Real Madrid at 22, and Real Sociedad at 22. And then just behind them is Atletico at 21, Sevilla at 21 points, and then Granada at 20. So, you know, this is the craziest La Liga I've experienced in the last few years, in like the last decade almost. And... You know, it's looking like there's going to be a record low number of points in La Liga.
Sure.
I think it's like estimated that the winner of La Liga this year will have 74 points, which is just crazy. Yeah, Real Sociedad coming out strong. I'm excited to see kind of what they can
offer.
What
did I say a couple pods ago? I called it. I was like, be careful, Real Sociedad. They're on a upswing, and they were doing really good. What? You looking
we'll
at me?
We'll have to
like,
check the tapes about that. I'm not sure if the
check the tapes.
I'm not sure if the breakdowners believe that like I do.
Well.
But... Yeah, so, you know, we're excited to see some more La Liga. Some of you have said you want to hear us do more La Liga content in general, so tweet at us, you know, leave an iTunes review and let us know if that's what you want to see. We can throw that in there as well.
Also, if you want to hear more about certain topics, just send us a direct message or a comment on one of our posts. If there's anything specifically you want to talk have us talk about, just let us know because that's the easiest way to let us know. So,
awesome. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening.